Holy Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this time where we could be together with you in this tonight on your holy day in your house. We ask that you would bless us as we're together. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to be alive. Thank you for this opportunity to meet together. Thank you for the blessings of your Spirit in this place. We'd ask that you would guide us, that you would give us the understanding that we need to have in preparation for your Son's soon coming. Thank you for these people here in Kenya. I pray that you'd bless every one of them. I know that there are some from Uganda and perhaps other places as well. Reach out to them so they can reach out to others. Bless us during this time as we're wanting to open your word. We pray that you would guide us, give us enlightenment. Help us to understand what your Spirit is saying to the churches. Give us grace, we pray, and we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is good. It is very good to be here again. And I've seen a lot of faces that I saw last year. But I've noticed there are more that here this time than there were last year. Is that right? And I understand that you all have come together to study the Bible. I hope you have your Bibles. If you don't, we're going to be using the screen up here, which will show you what's on, what I'll be looking at, because we'll just be going through the Bible this evening. And it will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there. My family from America says hello, and I really wish they could be here. You understand why they cannot be here. But my children would love to come and spend time with your children and experience the blessings of Kenya. My wife would like to be here and be able to learn how to make all your good food. Today I was served something for breakfast. I don't know the name of it. I don't remember, but it was really good. It was, we in America would call it greens. It was some kind of like spinach, kale, something. It's one of the medicines that they give for restoring iron in the blood. Now you know what I'm talking about, right? Manaku. Manaku. It was good. It was boiled up with some onions. I kept getting more and more and more. Got to restore the blood coming from America, you know. Hopefully that will keep the mosquitoes from biting me, right? I don't want that to happen. So I look forward to this week where we're going to be able to spend some time together and learn from God, from His holy word. And you know, what's incredible is, I know you're already in 1 Corinthians, but I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 1. And you can read with me from the screen because we're going to be in 1 Corinthians in a moment. But we're going to be looking at the revelation. And what's interesting is how the revelation was given to us. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So how did Jesus Christ get the revelation? God gave it unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. We know that his servants, according to Amos, are his prophets, right? Well, what happened is he, Christ, the one that had been given the gospel or the revelation by his Father, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, his servant John is one of the prophets. And so God the Father gave the message to his Son to give to an angel, to give to the prophet, to give to us. And we are supposed to give it to others. And so I think that's fascinating. Because we're at the point where, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're already at the point where God has given the revelation to his Son to give to an angel, which gave it to the prophet Paul. Paul wrote it down and is now giving it to us. And so our job is to share what we have learned from the Word with others. And you know, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Some of you may not be familiar with what a Seventh-day Adventist is. That's okay. I'm going to speak to you as a Christian, But I also have history as a Seventh-day Adventist. The reason being is I've been a pastor from the year 2000 to the year 2016 as either a senior or a credentialed Seventh-day Adventist pastor. So as a result, I have done a lot of research in the Bible and also the writings of Ellen White. You might think, who's Ellen White? Well, I'll tell you who Ellen White is. Somebody who loved the Bible. Somebody who God used to share the truths of the Bible. And while I share some things from Ellen White, I want you to make sure that what Ellen White says is in accordance with the Bible. You okay with that? I'll be going back and forth between the Bible and some of her writings. And that's why I bring it up. Because I've been a Seventh-day Adventist minister for many years. Now, my foundation is on the Word of God. You'll see that when I share something from the Bible, or rather from the writings of Ellen White, I should and most often will be able to give you where that principle comes from in the Bible. So that I'll show you they both work together. Okay? And so the reason I'm saying these things is because I'm going to be presenting this message here, chapter 1 of the 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to use some of Ellen White's writing. So just in case you didn't know who that person was, you'll learn as we continue on. So now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The first word is Paul. Paul was a gospel messenger, a prophet, someone who was against the truth for some time. In fact, if you look in the book of Acts, you realize that Paul was somebody who actually persecuted those who preached the truth. He caused them not only to be put in jail, but at sometimes to be put to death. Christianity, true Christianity, was not very popular during the time that Paul was a Pharisee, one of those that was Jewish and highly educated. And so, this man Paul, having written this gospel, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. For him to even write that, it was huge. You've got to understand, he despised Jesus Christ. When he was just a younger man, there was some people who were preaching that Christ was in the heavenly sanctuary. And, well, a person, his name is Stephen. And Paul didn't like that very much. His name at the time was Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And Saul, as he's listening to this, he encourages those around to silence that man. Stop him from speaking. No more preaching about Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary. And so some of the group that was around him, they actually took off their coats. They handed the coats to him, to Saul, who later became this Paul. Just the change of a name is all, and the change of a character, of course. And he was holding their coats, watching and encouraging them to throw stones and actually take the life of that man, Stephen, who was preaching about Jesus Christ. So this is Paul, right? How did Paul come to know Jesus Christ? What would your answer be? Let me hear it from you. Say it out loud. How did Paul come to know about Jesus Christ? What mechanism was used? Anybody? Yes, Christ spoke to him on the way to Damascus. That's right. Well put. Christ spoke to him. And that's why he could say, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. A personal appeal from Jesus Christ. And so what happens is, Paul, having been called of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Now, there are four people or four names, four individuals that are in this verse. Who are they? There's Paul, right? Jesus Christ, God the Father, and Sosthenes. So that's who we're talking about. We're talking about Paul, who was called. What does the word called mean, or church? Sorry, that's what I meant. What does the word church mean in the Bible? Those that are called out. Yes. So Paul was called. He was called out from a confusion of faith. We could consider that Babylonian religion. So Paul was called out of Babylonian religion, and he was called of Jesus Christ. As he was heading to Damascus, it was a personal visit by Jesus Christ. But we can say that he was called of the Spirit. Is that right? Yes or no? Yes, Paul was called of the Spirit. We can say that. But you know, the Bible doesn't use the word Spirit in this verse. It talks about Paul being called of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And Sosthenes was there as well. You see, that's the title of this message. That is the Holy Spirit. Paul was called of Jesus Christ through the will of God, his Father. That is the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you are saying, wait a minute, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. The Holy Spirit is not even mentioned there. What do you mean? Well, were you called of God, yes or no? Today, in this life, if you understand the Bible, you have been called of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and men, right? So, were you called of the Spirit? Yes. That is the Holy Spirit. God the Father calling you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Watch as we continue through these verses. Verse 2. Unto the church of God. I have a question. What does the church mean? The called out ones. How were the people called out? By the Spirit, right? Okay, watch this. Watch this verse. I'm going to read the whole thing now. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Did you read anything about the Holy Spirit in that verse? No. But what you did read is that we're the church of God. We're the called out of God. These people were in Corinth. I'm going to say that you, if you have listened to God's voice and have been called away from or out of the world, though you are in the world, you're not part of it, you are part of the church. Right? And so I could say the church of God in Kenya. And some of you say, wait a minute, I'm from Uganda. But right now you're in Kenya. I'm from America, but I'm still part of the church of God in Kenya, right? Like the Corinthians, there were people from lots of different places. Corinth was somewhat of a, how would you say, a coastal city. People would come in on ships from different locations, and they were bringing all sorts of ideas and teachings and convictions from all over the place. And so Paul had to write to the Corinthians in such a way that he would catch their attention. He would address them right where they needed to be addressed. And so he starts out talking about God the Father and Jesus Christ in verse 1. Himself as Paul and Sosthenes, our brother. In verse 2, he talks about the church of God, the called out of God, which are in Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute, I thought I was sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought that before? That you were sanctified by the Holy Spirit? Yes or no?
Yes.
But here it says we're called out by God and we're sanctified by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're sanctified in Jesus Christ, it says. But it doesn't mention the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of our Father through His Son. Because doesn't the Bible say, I'm going to go over here real quick. You know what, I'm just going to go, I'm going to go right here in Galatians 4, verse 6. Because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of someone other than His Son into your hearts. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that at all. What does it say? The Spirit of His Son. Because you are sons of God, you are the called out of God. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, so it's the Spirit of God's Son in your heart saying, Abba. If it was the Spirit of somebody else in your heart crying, Abba, that means that God has two sons. Well, yeah, I know what you mean. You are a son. I am a son. You are a daughter. But that's not what this verse is talking about. We're talking about the only begotten Son. And so the Spirit of His Son is the Spirit of His only begotten Son in your hearts. And He's the one crying, Abba, Father. Why does He cry, Abba, Father, in your heart? Because you, by adoption, are part of the family of God. We are not begotten sons and daughters of God. We are created and we are recreated, but we are generally adopted into the family of the Father and His Son. That is the Holy Spirit. Now, let's see. I'll go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called, again, there's that word, remember, called of God in verse 1, the church of God which is called out, and then it says, we are called to be saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. So far, in this verse, there's only two beings that are mentioned with a title or a name. It's God and it's Jesus Christ. I should make that a little smaller so you could see it. There we go. That's the whole verse. Right? There's the God and there's Christ Jesus. Now, of course, you could say the saints could be represented, but they're the ones that are called of Jesus to be saints. And so, notice what it says in verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from who? God the Father. And from who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So it's grace and it's peace that comes from God and from Jesus Christ. So where do you get grace from? From God and from Jesus Christ. That is the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Some people are saying, like I used to, that there is such a thing as another God named the Holy Spirit. If I may say, people give it the term God the Father, which is a correct term. They say then God the Son, which is not a correct term. And then they say God the Holy Spirit, which is not a correct term. You might ask, why? Why is that not a correct term? Because they are terms that are not in the Bible. If I were to go and search that phrase, if I were to look here and search God the Son, I would look for those specific words, God the Son. I would hit enter, and it would tell me that a book name must be entered at the selection point. In other words, we don't understand what you're looking for. I'm not looking for verses, I'm looking for words. So I've now changed it. I'm now looking for words, not verses. I'm going to hit enter. The phrase you entered cannot be found. Would you like to search with flex search? No. I want to find exactly those words, God the Son, in the Bible. But it doesn't occur. Okay. So now let me change the word Son, I'm going to make it bigger again, to the word Spirit. God the Spirit. Okay. And I'm going to hit enter. And just like we looked before, the phrase you entered cannot be found. Would you like to search with flex search? Flex search means we're going to use broader terms to try to find what you're looking for. No, I don't want that. I want to search those exact words, but they don't exist. Now, if I looked for God the Father, I would search and notice there are 13 different times the Bible uses the phrase God the Father. You see how that works? All I did was change the words. God the Son, nothing. God the Spirit, nothing. God the Father, 13 times. That's very interesting, isn't it? And so what we have is God the Father giving grace to us through His Son. Now, some of you are going to say, no, wait a minute, I think you're saying that Jesus Christ is not God. No, I'm not saying that. Jesus Christ is God, and this is how. He is the Son of God. And as a result of being the Son of God, He is our God. That does not mean He is the God of the Bible, because He is not the God of the Bible. His Father is the God of the Bible. And guess what? God the Father has no God. Thank you. Amen. God the Father has no God. But Jesus Christ, His Son, He has a God. Who is His God? His Father is His God. Even on the cross, you know what it said. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some people would say, oh, he was addressing two. My God the Father and my God the Holy Spirit. You mean so when he said Martha, Martha, there was two Marthas? And when he said Simon, Simon, there was two Simons? Are you sure? No, there was one Simon and there was one Martha, and there's one God. Amen? So what we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. We know that grace comes from God and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is where I'm going to take you for the first time to the writings of Ellen White. This is in a book called Steps to Christ. Probably many of you know this, but I'll tell you, it wasn't long ago I never knew this. But I have read Steps to Christ many times. I've referred to it thousands of times. But when you go to, let's see here. There we go. When you go to Steps to Christ 52, you're going to go to the second paragraph, and it looks like it's really quite skinny there. I don't know how to change that right now, so I'm just going to ignore it. But you'll notice that it says in the midst of this second paragraph, they must have His grace. In fact, let me just read the whole thing. Some seem to feel that they must be on probation and must prove to the Lord that they are reformed before they can claim His blessing. But they must claim the blessing of God even now. They, those that believe they need transformation, they must have His grace. What is that word? Grace. Where does grace come from? from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's what the Bible teaches. It says, now, they must have his grace, the Spirit of Christ, to help their infirmities, or they cannot resist evil. How can you resist evil according to this sentence? By having grace, which is what? The Spirit of Christ. So grace is what you need to resist evil. And grace, according to this sentence, is the Spirit of Christ. Right? Now watch as we continue. I'm just going to go to the next paragraph. Watch as I scroll down. There's 52.2. Here's the next paragraph. Here's where thousands fail. They do not believe that Jesus pardons them personally, individually. They do not take God at his word. It is the privilege of all who comply with the conditions to know for themselves that pardon is freely extended for every sin. Put away the suspicion that God's promises are not meant for you. They are for every repentant transgressor. Notice what it says at the bottom. Strength and grace have been provided. What do you mean provided? Provided from whom? From God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So, strength and grace have been provided through Christ, it says, to be brought by ministering angels to every believing soul. Did you understand what that said? Grace, which is the Spirit of Christ, is brought to you by ministering angels. Are you a believing soul? Yes or no? Raise your hand if you are a believing soul. Amen. Not everybody here is a believing soul, but I'm going to pray for you. But if you're a believing soul, then you have received grace by ministering angels. Isn't that amazing? I always thought it was the Holy Spirit. Well, it is. Which is provided by God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Holy Spirit, is the grace or Spirit of Christ from God the Father through the Son, through ministering angels. Not this third being that we call God the Spirit. The Bible doesn't talk about that. Never, not a single time. And so I think it's fascinating that when we go back here to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, we're talking about grace that's for you and peace that's for you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't talk about ministering angels here, but neither does it talk about a third being called God the Holy Spirit. It says there in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you, where? How? By Jesus Christ. But the previous verse said that grace comes by the Father, okay, from the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it's given to you by God, by Jesus Christ. So we have been able to see that God the Father is the provider of grace through his Son. Now, his Son uses angels. We can see that in the Bible. We're not going to get into the details tonight like that, but we're just going to go through 1 Corinthians and realize that the Father and the Son working together, that is the Holy Spirit. It's their will, their character, their purpose, the life of his life that is given to us by the Father through the Son. So it says there in verse 4 that it's God giving grace by his Son. Now, so far in verse 1, there was God, there was his Son, there was Paul and Sosthenes. In verse 2, there was God and his Son. In verse 3, there was God and his Son. In verse 4, there was God and his Son. Where's the Holy Spirit? I mean, we're talking to the Corinthians here. The Corinthians were crazy. They were crazy Christians. Go read the book for yourself. They were not united. They were baptizing in whatever name they chose to baptize in. They were committing sins that even the Gentiles wouldn't commit. They were taking people to court, their own brothers. They were speaking out of turn. Everybody thought they had the gift of prophecy. These people were crazy Christians. Don't you think that Paul would have needed to have shared with them the truth of the Holy Spirit? And that's what he's doing. That is the Holy Spirit. The Father working through the Son. It says in verse 5, that in everything you are enriched by Him. Who's Him? Jesus Christ. In all utterance and in all knowledge. So we are to be enriched by Him, Jesus Christ, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. The testimony of Christ. What is this phrase here, testimony of Christ? The spirit of prophecy, yes. The testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Now, we call it the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus Christ, right? So now, I want to take you to the book of Revelation chapter 19. And we're going to see something interesting here. Revelation 19 and verse 10. It says in this verse, I fell at his feet. At whose feet? The angel. You see, because remember, God the Father gave the gospel or revelation to his Son. His Son gave it to an angel to share with John. And so the angel is here sharing all these amazing things with John. And John, he fell at his feet to worship this angel. And the angel said unto him, Woe, see thou do it not. I am your fellow servant and of your brothers that have the testimony of Jesus. Okay, did you hear what that said? The angel has the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. So what that's saying is the angel has the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. Have you ever thought of an angel having the testimony of Jesus or the spirit of prophecy? Some of you Adventists have said, well, no, that was what Ellen White had. Yeah. And it was what James had and Jeremiah and Moses and Matthew and Paul. They all had the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus. But here the angel is saying, I'm one of your brothers. I'm working together with you. We're part of the family. And I have the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. And so, if you go to the next time this similar situation occurs, not the same time, this is a later period, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 8 and 9, same thing. John saw these things and heard them. Those things, of course, which the angel had been teaching. And when I had heard and seen these things, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said, No. See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets. Is this saying that an angel is claiming to be a prophet? That's what it's saying. I am of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. Here, he says, I am of your brethren, the prophets. He didn't say, I know your brothers, the prophets. He didn't say, I'm going to speak to your brothers, the prophets. He said, I am of your brethren, the prophets. Right? So the angel here has been called by God to have the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the witness of Jesus Christ. And so what's happening here is John is amongst a brother, one of the angels. And we're not to worship angels. Angels, according to Ellen White, are part of the agency of the Holy Spirit. They are agencies in the agency of the Holy Spirit, or they are instrumentalities, heavenly instrumentalities in the agency of the Holy Spirit. We also know that they are channels by which God communicates with man. And so these angels are channels. By the way, you are a channel. Did you know that? God uses you as a channel. Remember when we started out, there's the revelation of God, which was given unto Jesus Christ, which was given unto an angel, which was given unto John, and then John wrote it down so he can give it to you. Just follow the next step. You're to give it to others. So God, as the source of all things, according to 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, he gave it to his Son, which is the mediator between God and men. Christ, his Son, uses angels to reach to prophets, and prophets reach to people, and then you reach to others. And that's what's happening with this angel. He's just simply saying, I've been given the gift of prophecy just like you have. And so back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, 6 rather. It's so that we're going to be enriched by Christ in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. What is that gift? It is the ministry of an angel to people that God has called as prophets, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, verse 5, we're dealing with being enriched by him, which could either be the Father or the Son. I think it's the Son just because the previous words were talking about Jesus Christ. And then it's talking about Christ in verse 6. And then it's talking about waiting for Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 7. And so in verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, what we've been seeing is that God the Father is mentioned and his Son Jesus Christ is mentioned. They've called Paul. The church is called out of the world. We are sanctified. We come behind in no gift. There's the testimony of Jesus that's mentioned. All these things are here. He hasn't mentioned the Spirit a single time. But that is the Holy Spirit. Do you get it? So Paul was writing to the Corinthians. And the Corinthians, they were people that needed the Holy Spirit. So why didn't Paul mention the Holy Spirit? He did. The entire time he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Father working through the Son. And as you put a couple of verses together, you realize the Son works through his angels. And his angels gives the gospel to people like Paul who are called to be prophets, and they will share with you, and you are to share with others. So in verse 7, we are to come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God is the one that called you unto the fellowship of his Son. That is the Holy Spirit. I so wish that this understanding could go to the world. We are in a world where people do not believe what we are studying right here in God's Word. They believe that there is something called God the Holy Spirit, or one of the three that make up the one God. I don't do that math very well. I've never been able to understand it. I used to call it a mystery as a Trinitarian, but now I understand differently. I am now what's called a non-Trinitarian, or somebody who just believes that there's only one God, which has a son. And that son is also our God because he is the Son of God, not because he is his Father. And so he's our God because he's created us. He's our God because he's redeemed us, working with his Father, of course. So now we're all the way up to 9, and we've seen God the Father and his Son in every single verse to a church that should and needed to understand about the Holy Spirit. And so Paul was writing to them about the Holy Spirit without even using the term Spirit, because what you've just read tonight, that is the Holy Spirit. Now this, as we continue on, we can see now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's the idea of the Spirit, using Paul. I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, God the Father hath sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, right? According to Galatians 4:6. So Paul is beseeching the Corinthians. He's making an appeal to them, not by the Holy Spirit, but that is the Holy Spirit, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, the reason why Paul was saying this to the Corinthians is because they were not of the same mind and of the same judgment. And what's incredible about that is that he was trying to bring them to the same mind and into unity one with another so they will say the same thing. How did he do that? By sharing with them the truth of the ministry of the Father and his Son. And of course, talking about the gift or the testimony of Jesus, he was referring also to the ministration of the angels. I find it fascinating how we can read the Bible over and over and over again. I'm talking about myself now. I had read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I don't know how many times, as a Christian, over and over and over again through the years. I've been a Christian since 1996. I've read the Bible every single day. Now, I've not been in the book of Corinthians every single day, but I've been in the Bible every single day. And periodically through those years, I've gone through the book of Corinthians. I've read chapter 1, gone through it in the Sabbath school lesson. I've heard it preached. I've heard it referred to. It's used a lot when you're talking about the testimony of Jesus, and they always conclude that it's the writings of Ellen White. But they never talk about the angels doing the ministry and being those that have the testimony of Jesus as well. So, having gone through this section of the Bible so many times, I never understood what it was saying until I truly started grasping the understanding of the relationship of the Father and his Son. When you grasp that relationship, when you understand the meaning of the Father having a Son and working together with that Son, then you start to understand what the Holy Spirit is. As we continue on through this week, I'm going to be talking periodically to you all, talking about God the Father, talking about the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and talking about the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we're going to learn together a little bit more about what the Bible says about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it's not like perhaps you've heard before. Some of us go to some churches where we're talking about things that are not in the Bible. But this week, we're going to try to understand what is in the Bible. And we're going to try to decipher because of the care of our Father, the care of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the life that Christ lived here on the earth. We know that he lived, most importantly, lived, and then died for us. Because if he didn't live that life, his death would not have meant what it did. But he lived and he died. And as a result of living that life, he was able to resurrect from the dead. And as a result of living that life, after he resurrected, he was able to ascend and be accepted by the Father. And so that life that Christ lived, that is the gift that the Father has sent, the gift of the Spirit of his Son. That same life that enabled his resurrection and his acceptance before the Father is the same life that we can have, which the Bible calls the faith of Jesus. I was talking earlier with somebody. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. And we're going to read part of the last portion of the third angel's message. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I want you to understand something here. In this verse that you have heard, I don't know, maybe you've been an Adventist all your life. You may have heard this verse thousands of times. How many could say in this audience, I have heard this verse thousands of times? How many could say that? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a good number of you that could say that. How many of you, up until recently, ever even recognized that this verse is talking about God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ? I've shared that with some people, and they will say, whoa, I never knew that. I never realized it. It's true. The third angel's message is calling people to honor God the Father through the faith of his Son, Jesus Christ. I don't read anything about a third God there. In fact, what I do read is in the previous verses, I read about the wrath of God the Father. I read about the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and I read about the holy angels, the Father, the Son, and the ministration of the angels. So I believe we're going to be learning a little bit more about the third angel this week. We're going to learn a little bit more of who it is that we fear and give glory to, which is the first angel. And I believe we're going to learn a little bit more about coming out of confused religion, which is the second angel. So this week, even though we're going to be talking about the Father, his Son, the angels, through the ministration of the sanctuary, and all through the Bible, the various things that we're going to learn, we're going to be learning about the three angels that we are to take to the entire world. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Let us dedicate ourselves tonight to the Lord, asking for his mercy to use us as he has used so many in years gone by. Shall we dedicate ourselves this week to God in prayer as we kneel? Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity tonight to be able to look at your word and understand a little bit more of what it is that your Spirit is saying to the churches, as it records in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3 so often. We pray that you would help us to realize that your working through your Son is the Holy Spirit. We want that same commission that your Son had to work with you so that we too can have that same Holy Spirit. We want to be ministered to by your angels to receive the Spirit of Christ, which is grace, so that we can be receivers of that Holy Spirit, and we can the Spirit of your Son, so that we can share with others the truths of your holy word. I pray you'd continue to lead and guide and bless us, that as we search, as we study, as we pray together, that we would be blessed, you would be honored, and that our lives would be transformed, so that we, when we share, we can be clear and unhindered channels whereby you can reach souls before your Son comes. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the Holy Sabbath. Bless us as we fellowship together, as we close this night. In the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, amen.